Foxworthy, he has this, you might be a redneck if, comedy skit. And it's pretty funny. I was thinking about this because we're talking about being the church. You know, we are the church, and some of the identifying marks of being the church, what it means to be the church. And so just a few of those I wanted to share with you this morning. You might be a redneck if you have to go outside in order to get something out of the fridge. You might be a redneck if your wife wants to go cruising, and she means circling the Dairy Queen. You might be a redneck if your shirt sleeve doubles as your napkin. You might be a redneck if on your first date you had to ask Dad for the keys to the tractor. You might be a redneck if your working television sits on top of your non-working television. I thought that's close. I could see me doing that. You might be a redneck if your wife wants to stop at the gas station to see if they've got the new William Byron Budweiser wall clock. Does anybody know who that is? He's a NASCAR driver. He won Daytona last year. I looked it up. You might be a redneck if you cut the grass and found a car. If you carry a fishing pole to SeaWorld, you might be a redneck. If you have every episode of Hee Haw on VHS tape, you might be a redneck. I used to watch it. So today we're continuing in our message series, We Are the Church. And I was tempted to call this message, You Might Be a Christian If, and kind of answer that. And we're going to talk about thankfulness. We're looking at Colossians chapter 3. But I thought, you know, if we did that, just like Ben was sharing from the psalm earlier, you know, it's okay for us to not be okay. It's okay for us to not be everything we think we ought to be. There are times that we have lament, you know, that we are in turmoil and trouble, and we're crying out to God, and we really don't like our situation. We're not always these pillars of faith that we want to be. And I thought if I called this, You Might Be a Christian If, you're thankful, that might trip some of us up because we think, well, I'm not in a good place today, and there's a lot that I'm not thankful for, and maybe I'm not a Christian. And so our salvation is based in who Jesus is and what he has done, and not in our thankfulness. So I didn't want to go there. But I do think it's a Christ-like thing for us to be thankful, and so we're going to talk about that. And of course, non-Christians can be thankful also. They can't be thankful to God, though, if they're not a believer. They can't be thankful in the same way that a believer is, or for those same things. So today, if you turn your Bibles to Colossians 3, and Paul is writing about, in the first half of this chapter, he's writing about our new life that we have in Jesus Christ. And he's talking about living as people who are made alive with Christ. We'll read through most of this, but verses 9 and 10, he says, "You have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator." And so Paul's saying, there's something for you to put on. Even though you're saved, you want to live it out. You still have a free will, and you can choose to really kind of walk in that salvation, and like putting on clothes. You get up in the morning, and like we were saying earlier, you know, more of you, less of me, to take off the old self, to say, these parts of me that I still wrestle with, in faith and in prayer, I'm calling out to God, and I'm saying, I'm taking off those grave clothes. I'm not going to put on that addiction today. I'm not going to put on that hostility today. I'm not going to put on that anger today. I'm going to put on what Christ has given me today. I'm going to wear my grace clothes instead of my grave clothes today. And that's an option that we have, to choose virtuous attitudes and behaviors that are fitting for people who are saved. And so clothe yourselves with Christ. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, putting on every day those clean, fresh clothes of our salvation, walking in those grace clothes of holiness and new life. And that's my desire. That's my desire every day. Over time, as I've walked with the Lord, I've learned there has to be some intentionality about that. You know, we have the Holy Spirit, and sometimes we think we're just on automatic pilot, and we're just okay to go forward. But, you know, there's reasons why throughout Scripture we're told to pray, you know, to cry out to God, because we need to. You know, we need to acknowledge that just because I'm saved doesn't mean that I'm independent of him. I'm entirely dependent upon him. And so I need to have that that intentionality every day of clothing myself with Christ. So when Paul's writing this, just a little background on the book of Colossians, This is around the year 60 AD, and he's in prison. He's in a Roman prison, and there's at least seven times in this section here in Colossians where he talks about thankfulness and how thankful he is and how we should be thankful in the Christian life. And there's a lot that we could recognize as we read through this. There's much more than thankfulness. To give context, I'm going to go ahead and read verses 1 through 17. We'll look at that today. But in the latter part of this section, in verses 15 through 17, in three verses, three times he talks about thankfulness. And so that's what we're going to focus on today, that if you are a Christian, it is good to be thankful like Jesus. So starting in verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life that you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge of its creator, in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude, again, thankfulness, gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, I believe that of anybody on earth, Christians have the most to be thankful for. Or at least we know that we should be thankful the most. I want to be thankful like Jesus. I want to be thankful like my Savior, and I think that you do too. So I want to recognize today four things that we can be thankful for. This is a very small list. There are many more. But four things that we can be thankful for like our Savior. First of all, be thankful for simple things. Be thankful for simple things. What are simple things? Dictionary.com says that something that is simple is easy to understand. It's something that's not ornate, it's not elaborate, it's ordinary. Be thankful for what is ordinary, for what's not complicated. Simple things in life. Things that other people just overlook and don't give thanks for. Recognize those things, those little blessings in daily life, and give thanks for those. We should clothe ourselves with Christ, who is thankful for little things. In Matthew 15, verse 36, I don't have this on the screen. You're welcome to look this up. Matthew 15, 36, Jesus is about to do this awesome miracle. There's 4,000 people, 4,000 men at least, plus others, and he's going to do this miracle of multiplying loaves and fishes. Before Jesus multiplies anything, when it's just a few loaves, a few fish, it's inadequate for the need, it's insufficient, it's very meager. It says Jesus gave thanks to the Father. Then he took the seven loaves and the fish, and when he had given thanks, then he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and they in turn to the people. It was before the miracle. It was when looking at what he had didn't seem like it was adequate for the situation. When there was just a little bit, that Jesus gave thanks to the Father. I think in the same way, God invites us to look at what we have, even if it seems ordinary and meager and plain, and give thanks to the Father for those things. After his resurrection, this is recorded in Luke 24, Jesus is walking down the road, those two disciples on the Emmaus Road, and he starts talking with them. They invite him. They encourage him to come and stay at their home. Verse 30 says that when he was at the table with them, he took the bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. And again, we see this in Jesus' ministry in his life. He pauses, and he gives thanks to the Father. This is the Son of God, and he is taking time to give thanks for bread. You know, just for bread. I don't even know if they had butter or, you know, jelly or any of the things that I like, but just plain bread is worth pausing and saying, God, you were so good providing for me. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this bread. You know, I think of Jesus' childhood. You know, maybe he saw this model with Joseph and Mary before meals, you know, that before they would break bread together in the home, Joseph would thank the Father for what they had for the meal, and they would take time to do this. I think that my father and mother helped me in some ways to be thankful for what we had in front of us. When I was little, which is kind of funny because this is so not me now, but I was picky. I'll eat anything now. But like the only thing grown in a garden that I would eat as a kid was green beans. I didn't want anything. Forget cauliflower, carrots, you know, peas, any of that stuff. Didn't want anything to do with anything other than corn. But my mom was a good cook and she'd provide a balanced meal. And there'd always be some greens and some things from the garden on the plate. And she would just give me a little bit. She was merciful. And she would say, just eat a little bit. You know, just try a little bit. And like most kids, I would try to push back and make a face and be like, you know, I can't do it. It's going to make me throw up and I can't eat that. And then she would play the mom is about to go overseas on your card. There are kids in India who have nothing to eat. who would be really thankful to have those peas. And I knew my mom was being honest with me. She was telling me the truth, and it really sunk in, and I thought, wow, you know, I don't want these. I don't like how these taste, but God provided this for my family, and I should be thankful for this. And so even though I may have not meant it, maybe I would have meant it more if it was brownies instead of peas, you know, I would thank God for the peas, and I would eat a few of those. And so it is good. You know, it's one of the ways my parents modeled thankfulness for simple things. And we should clothe ourselves with thankfulness for simple things. Another thing we can be thankful for, be thankful in suffering. This is a hard one. This is tough. Not thankful for suffering necessarily, but thankful in our suffering, in affliction. You know, there's an old saying that there are two kinds of people in the world. There are those who are afflicted now, and there are those who soon will be. That's the reality we live within, you know, whether it's physical ailments or things that we experience relationally, you know, we all go through troubles. It's part of life on earth, and I don't mean to be a downer if you're young and you didn't realize that yet, but, you know, we're all going to experience suffering. We're all going to experience hardship. If you look at news headlines, you know, bad news sells, right? There's good news too, but bad news sells, and so there's a ton of bad news in the media when you look at that, and it grieves God's heart. We shouldn't just be light and dismissive of hardship that people have, say, oh, you should be thankful. No, we should weep with those who weep and grieve with those who grieve. And you know, the tragedies that we suffer, it grieves God's heart. And yet God's word says in places like Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In every situation, we're not necessarily thankful for the situation. And it's okay to be praying, God, help me, get me out of this. You know, whatever the situation, he knows we don't like it. But at the same time, there's things that we can be thankful for. We can have gratitude to God in the midst of our suffering. In Romans 8:18, Paul wrote, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. You know, that's one of the promises that I lay hold of if I'm going through something I don't want to go through. That God is good and he's doing good in my life. Even if there's weakness in my flesh, even if there's suffering that I'm going through, that God is bringing about his glory as we trust him and thank him in the midst of that. In 2 Corinthians, this is in chapter 4, Paul wrote, therefore we do not lose heart, Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles. Does anybody know about Paul's light and momentary troubles? I mean, the guy being shipwrecked, imprisoned, you know, beaten, mocked, ridiculed, abandoned. Yeah, I mean, he went through it, right? Eventually would pay with his life for the name of Jesus. And he says, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary and what is unseen is eternal. Paul's saying, listen, there's a time coming when we are going to stand before the Lord and he is going to recognize there's going to be rewards for what we have endured as faithful servants. And those things that we suffered through and just held on, barely able to make it another day, and said, God, I can't make any sense of this, but I praise you anyway. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for what I have. Thank you that although this day is horrible because of the suffering, I've not endured this every day. You know, that there's been good days too along with that. And as we find things to praise him for in the midst of that, the Bible says that those troubles and those afflictions is going to seem like a feather, light. And there's going to be a mountain of reward and glory on the other side of that scale, to where when we're in eternity, it's going to seem like, all right, you know what? Now I've got perspective. Now I've got perspective. Now those things really weren't as big and terrible as they seem because God was being glorified in my life. Jesus gives us an amazing example. If you turn to Matthew 26 for a minute, this is the Last Supper. Matthew 26, starting in verse 26, says that while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. Paul quoted this, and we read this earlier from Corinthians. He broke it. He gave thanks to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus was not just thanking the Father for bread and for the cup there. He was thanking the Father for what was about to happen on the cross. Unbearable, unimaginable suffering that he was about to experience to save us. And he's giving thanks to the Father. The crucifixion's just the next thing up for him. Clothe yourselves with thankfulness in suffering. A third thing that we can be thankful for, be thankful for spiritual things. Be thankful for spiritual things. If you'd like to turn over to Colossians 1 and verse 9. Paul wrote, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, he's not the one who planted the church there in Colossae, but he'd heard about them. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of God and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people and the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, and he has brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. There's a lot in that little passage to be thankful for. There is so much. We can be thankful for the knowledge of God, thankful for the knowledge of his will, thankful for the gift of wisdom and understanding that we have in the Holy Spirit, thankful that we are strengthened with all power according to his might and don't have to walk around in our weakness, that we can have endurance and patience through Christ. We can thank the Father that he has qualified us for an inheritance. We have salvation. We've been rescued out of that kingdom of darkness. Anybody else glad that you're not in the kingdom of darkness anymore? But he's rescued you. You didn't get yourself out. You know, he has brought you into the kingdom of the Son he loves. I'm so grateful every day for that, that I wake up a member of a new kingdom. And there's so much more we could say. I'm thankful for Christian fellowship. I'm thankful for you all. I'm thankful for church family. I'm thankful for having the Bible in my own language and having multiple copies. I mean, thankful that I can corner people like Shane on an airplane and tell them about Jesus. I mean, there's so much we have to be thankful for. And I think that that thankfulness helps us to see God's hand in our life when we are thankful. You know, I think there's so many things that God is actively doing that we don't see sometimes. But when we are walking around with gratitude towards him, it opens up our eyes to see things. It's kind of like if you had a dish full of sand and you had some little specks of iron in there that really just blend in with all the other sand, and you're like, okay, you know, pick out all the iron. Well, you could spend all day and you're not going to find any, right? Because it just all looks like a bunch of little particles. But if you take a magnet and you were to sweep through that sand with a magnet, all those little iron particles are going to stick. And you're going to find them easily, right? Gratitude is like that. Thankfulness is like that. That when we go through our day thankful, all those spiritual things that we have, like that adoption into his family, right? We start seeing that more openly. You know, we start being more aware of those things when we have a heart of gratitude. Clothe yourselves with thankfulness for the spiritual things. And then the last thing that I wanted to share today, be thankful for Jesus. Clothe yourselves with thankfulness for Jesus. He chose to leave heaven for you. He chose to come into this sin-filled world to live a perfect life that you should live and couldn't, and to pay a price that you should have paid on a cross so that you could have eternal life in his name. You know, there's so much that Jesus has done for us. And I think, like the song says, 10,000 years will barely have begun singing his praises. We are forgiven. We are free. We have a promise of a home that is being prepared for us. Demonic forces are defeated now because of what he did on the cross. He gives us the opportunity, the ability, and the Holy Spirit to forgive other people, things we could never forgive on our own. And yet, because we have the Holy Spirit, we can extend forgiveness. God's Word says that we can have that peace that surpasses understanding. We can have the Word of Christ dwelling in us richly. And we share in all these things because of Jesus. When we were in Florida, we watched a football game. Anybody else see Notre Dame whoop up on Georgia? Sorry if there's any Georgia fans here. We watched. No, we're not. Our kids are huge Notre Dame fans, like huge. Our son has already purchased tickets. I'm not going to tell you what he spent for the next game. It's going to be in Miami. Hopefully they're going to beat Penn State. We watched that game in Grant and Sadie's living room. And when Notre Dame, when the clock ticked off those last seconds and they won the game, we were doing what a lot of Notre Dame fans were doing all over the country and in that stadium. We won! We won! You know? We were pretty excited. Now, how many of those fans watching on television played a minute in that game? You know, I didn't. You know, even the fans, even like the students who were there, you know, who had traveled to watch, that are enrolled at Notre Dame and the school represented, they didn't play in that game. But they're pretty psyched, right, with all their pain on their bellies and whatever they're doing, I don't know, to celebrate. But they're, you know, we won! And they're just so passionate about that victory. That's what we have in Christ. That's what we have. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, you know, we can live every day in victory saying, we won. No matter what happens in this day, we won. You know, I didn't have to contribute anything to it, but because I'm associated with him, I share in the victory that he's already won for me. Isn't that wonderful? Every day we can wake up, the enemy has been defeated. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, I want to share this, so this will be the last verse I'll share, I think, this morning. But 1 Corinthians 15:57, I love this. Thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The he gives us, it's a present participle there in the Greek. It means he keeps on doing it. He keeps giving victory and giving victory and giving victory and giving victory. It's not a one-time thing. He did it all on the cross and it's finished, but every day we are walking in the victory that he won for us. Every day we get to be part of that same victory. He keeps on giving us victory every day. Every day. The enemy will lie to you. He'll tell you that you're going down. He'll tell you that, you know, God doesn't love you because you messed up. He'll tell you that your salvation isn't secure because you're not whatever it is you think you should be. He'll bring out all these lies and all this condemnation, but my God says there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. His word says, I have his victory. I have his victory, and I stand in that. I don't have to fight for it. I don't have to do religious stuff to get it. I have it. It's a gift. We have that victory in Christ Jesus. So, what do we do with that? I think we live a life of gratitude. In our words and our deeds, we live a life of thanksgiving. Thankful for family, for this. Thankful for his word. Thankful for his spirit that he's with us. Thankful for what's to come, that he's coming back. Amen. Today be a great day. Love it if he showed up today. I pray for that. Come, Lord Jesus. Clothe yourselves with thankfulness for Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a wonderful privilege we have in Christ Jesus to call you our Father. And to know Christ as our greater brother, to have an inheritance because of him. To be your people, your bride, who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Just to be able to know your will, Lord. What a privilege. And then by your Spirit to be able to choose to do what's pleasing to you. God, thank you for the privilege of knowing you. The privilege of your intentionality, that each one of us is here for a reason. In this time and in this place, not by accident, not by evolution, not by happenstance, but because you are an incredible, wise God who placed us here for your glory. We thank you, God, for the privilege of representing you in this time and in this place. Thank you, Lord, that we're not only saved, we are adopted. That we are dearly loved sons and daughters. That your word says that your spirit testifies to our spirit that we are sons and daughters. And that because of that, that you are not backing out on the adoption. And that's a lot to be thankful for, Lord. Thank you that we didn't contribute to that salvation and we can't lose it. God, in light of who you are, help us to clothe ourselves with thankfulness. Father, you have given us free will. We know we can be messy kids. We can even be ungrateful kids. But I pray, Father, that you would help us to be thankful kids. Help us, Lord, every day, throughout the day, again and again and again, to pause and recognize who you are and the wondrous salvation that we have. We pray, Lord, that that thankfulness would bring you honor and glory. Maybe others around us would see that thankfulness. Maybe especially on the worst of days, when the battle with the disease isn't going the way we've been praying, when something catastrophic is happening in the life of a loved one, maybe on those days, Lord, where we are the most broken and weak, and we still choose to thank you. That somebody would see that and say, tell me about your God. We pray for that, Lord, not that anybody would make much of us, but because you are worthy. And so we ask you would do that in our lives, God. Be glorified at the expense of your people and give us thankful hearts in Jesus' name.